Okay, good morning everybody. How are we doing?
Doing well, Mark.
Thank you again to the musos and the play guys and all that. And just a wonderful reminder, but that's a Friday story. And today we have a different story. Today is the joy of the resurrection. Yeah, there we go. Ken's excited. Anybody else? No, come on, guys. Today in history is the greatest day that we could imagine. Wow. I'm going to ask you, if you've ever been healed, Luke 9:11 says, and Jesus healed those who had need of healing. It doesn't say what kind of healing. If you've ever been healed, stand up. Of anything. That's good. Excellent. That's why the resurrection is so important. That's why the resurrection is so important. He was wounded for our transgression. His healing, we got the healing from the cross and the power of the resurrection. The same breath that when he breathed into Lazarus. You know, Lazarus was in the tomb, he was dead. Lazarus had nothing to do with his resurrection. We have nothing to do with our resurrection. Well, I found Jesus. No. He'd been looking for you for a long time. I found Jesus. No. Jesus found us. We got to get excited about this. You know, we can preach many sermons, but today we should be laughing and giggling the whole way through. Even when I say something somber, you should go, yeah, that's good. That works for me. In Exodus chapter 12, you can go and read the story about the Passover lamb. Very serious stuff. 10th plague. It said to Pharaoh, if you do not let my people go, I'm going to send these plagues upon you. And the 10th plague came, and that was the plague of the Passover. And he told him, on the 10th day, go and read it. On the 10th day, you go and select a lamb. And then there's all the rituals and how they should eat the lamb. And it's very important in there to know, it's, and don't break any of its bones. Where's Joanne? Joanne not here today. She got so excited when we were talking about continuity from Old Testament to New Testament. And I keep saying it, if we don't understand the Old Testament, we don't get the import to the New. 10th day of spring, 10th day of Nisan, go and collect this lamb, take it into your house, slaughter the lamb, take some hyssop and put it across on the door handles and across the top and on the sides. Got to see the picture, the symbolic picture that's coming out. And they did that. And on the 10th day of Nisan, the lamb entered into Jerusalem on a donkey. Go and look at it. And on the 14th day of Nisan, the day of spring, the lamb was sacrificed and died. And on the 15th day of spring was beginning the feast of the unleavened bread, and Jesus' broken body, the bread of life, was taken and put in a tomb. And day 16, beginning of the celebration of Nisan, of the first fruits, Jesus rose. The first fruit of the resurrection for us. I thought I'd just point it all out to you. I know you knew that stuff. But the Old Testament, New Testament continuity, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. And this has got nothing to do with my sermon today. This is just preparation for us. One lamb for one man. Genesis chapter 22. One lamb for one family. Exodus chapter 12. One lamb for many nations. For one nation. Leviticus. One lamb for many nations. Isaiah 53. One lamb for the world. John chapter 1. One lamb for salvation. Acts chapter 8. 26 to 38. The lamb of history. 1 Peter 1. 18 to 20. The lamb of the cosmos. Revelation chapter 5. The Lamb for Eternity, Revelation 21 and 22. Do you think there's a theme that God is trying to teach us? The Lamb of the world. And I said on Good Friday, came in, humbled on a horse, on a donkey. Humility. Coming back one day was called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Coming back one day, the Lion of the tribe of Judah on a magnificent stallion. Coming to redeem his people for eternity. That, my friends, is good news. Okay, so let's look at the Bible, what the Bible says, because it's always good to read out the Bible. Turn with me to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter, I just want to point something out, and then we're going to go, and you can look for 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as well. So 1 Peter, let's look at chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's good news. That's the gospel there, right there and there for you. Two, this is important, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, the joy of resurrection. In this we rejoice together. Come on, don't be shy. Don't get all quiet to me. I've seen you at ball games and barbecues and parties. I've seen you. Don't worry. Come on. Here we go. Well, there was Janine. You can do much better than that. I've heard you do your hee-haws. There we go. In this we rejoice now, though for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith. Well, I thought it was just going to be tiptoe through the tulips. No, there's going to be some testing for the genuineness of your faith. More precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Anyone ever had any trials and temptations? Oh, some of you are just too shy to put up your hand. Or you're living in La La Land. Yeah, it's all the married couples that put their hands up. That's what Chris said. Yeah, okay, left, down. So what we need to look at, inheritance, I just want to make a quick point, inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Now we know in Scripture often it says, depends what you're reading out of, verily, verily, verily I say unto you, or truly, truly, truly I say unto you. Now there is something in that that teaches us that that is a definite truth. It's definitive, it's an imperative. Now when Paul uses this language, in the English it just sounds like three words put together, but in the Greek it's totally different. There are three words that go like this, and I'll try and pronounce them. Aphthartan, amionten, and amranten. They all begin with A and they all end with T-O-N. That's just the point you need to know. And what that means, that it is a collective definition imperative that this inheritance we have can never, ever be destroyed. Isn't that beautiful? And we think, oh, things are so tough for me and things are going, but my inheritance is sure. I am having an insured inheritance. And God is protecting it. The creator of the universe is looking after it in heaven. And I'm thank you got that. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because that's just a foundation to lay ourselves upon this wonderful, glorious, amazing day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm pumped. Do you get that? Do you get that? Because I'm going to show you now, if he wasn't resurrected, if there was no resurrection, all my preaching would be in vain. And our life would be pointless. We should rather just go fishing. I'm just excited. I'm not shouting at you. Please, anyone thinks I'm shouting, stop thinking that. I'm not shouting. I'm just excited. I've got a loud voice. Oh, no. Someone give Chris a Kleenex here. He's freaking already because he's crying. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to read from verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, This is like old Paul playing a little bit of lawyer here, advocate. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Logical. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain, and I'm just blowing hot air right now. We, the apostles, that is, because that's what he's writing about, we are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we of all people most to be pitied. If there is no eternity and we're just bumbling ourselves and we come together on Sundays and we sing songs and we go to prayer meetings and we shout and shundai bundai, but not on a Sunday, and we freak out, it's all in vain. Should rather just get a fishing rod and go fishing. But, thank you, Janine. Is that where I am? I'm at but. Okay, but. Now, who knows what but is there for? It negates everything else that just got said. But, I love you, darling, but. Oh. Yeah. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. That is good news. So now we say, have a look at this and what they've said. Said, we have this joy of this resurrection, this living hope, 1 Peter tells us. We have a hope of an inheritance in the future that is can never ever be destroyed. And whilst our minds and our bodies might go through trials and temptations, and you know you've heard me say before, this is the enemy's playground, and we've got to kick him out of here, and we don't let him get down here. I saw a video clip today. Somebody posted it on Facebook. Yeah, it's from YouTube. It's Facebook. It's like what Satan thinks of the church. That's very sobering. But then at the end, they say, yeah, but what about Jesus? And you see him freaks out. He says, oh, don't say the J word. He says, because if you say the J word, I'm leaving. And he says, oh, you mean Jesus? And Satan gets up and runs off. I thought, there you go. Can't even stand in the wonderful, glorious name of our Lord and Savior. It's obviously tongue-in-cheek, but it's a powerful message. Absolutely. Thank you, Francine. Again. Yes, absolutely. I'm glad that you got it. I'm getting it. If Christ has not been raised, as I've said, then we're all wasting our time. Then our preaching is in vain. And I'm not going to dwell on long on these because they're self-explanatory. Our testimony, our witnessing, everything that we say, everything that we live for has no meaning. Your healing was in vain. Then our faith would be in vain. Our entire belief system is called into question. That little picture you see on the front of the bulletin, I don't want to boast, but it's a photograph I took when we were in Israel of the empty tomb. And the stone was rolled away, not so that Jesus could get out, but so we could see in. Well, we know that because when he got to the upper room, he just appeared. So he could have just appeared out of the tomb and the stone, and everyone could have been wondering. But the stone was rolled away so we could see in. Why are you looking amongst the dead for the living? Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, is living. He is resurrected. Therefore, Our preaching is not in vain. Our faith is not in vain. The apostles' preaching would be misrepresenting God. Acts 2:24, Peter claims that God has been raised himself. Our faith is futile and we are still in our sins. Romans 4:25, that he was raised for our justification. He died for our propitiation. Upon the cross was the expiation of our sins. We stood in the slave block of redemption and we were freed because of that. We were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the risen Savior. When he declared, as I said on Friday, for those who weren't here, when he said it is finished, it wasn't, well, Friday's over. Yay, weekend time. The work that my Father sent me to do is finished. It's done. My ministry on earth is finished. It is done. I've accomplished everything that my Father gave me to do. And I go as the unleavened bread, and I lie in the tomb. And if you go and read the scriptures, is that when he looked at the when we looked at the clothing in the tomb, the headscarf was neatly folded. Jesus must have been a good teenager at home. Just a point for moms and dads. First Corinthians 15:55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? There is no sting. There's victory in life. The life that Jesus came and breathed. The same ruach that God breathed into Adam. The same breath that raised Lazarus from the dead. And again, it is by grace you have saved, not of yourselves, that you may not boast. Well, it was my big choice that I made, and I was the hero, and I did it all. No, you can't do it your way. As an old song goes, we do it Christ's way. Because He is the Savior. He is the Resurrector. He is the one who came and paid for my sins. Last one. We of all men are to be pitied. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who be saved, it is the power of God. Come on, say power of God. Get a little bit emotional about this stuff. There we go. Yeah. Come on, babes, run around the church. No, I'm joking. I was joking last time, and as you remember, Bridge got up and I was like, what did I say? Where she's going? And I realized what I'd said. But if we understand the resurrection, the joy of the resurrection, we wept and we cried on Friday. But this was a joyful thing, for the joy endured the cross. Jesus counted it as a joy. Why? Because he knew the end result for you and for me. He knew what it was. Three times he said, Lord, Father, take this away from me. And he went into the garden and he prayed and he sweated drops of blood. There is a medical term for that. It can happen. It's not just a fictitious story. It's called hematohidrosis. Go and check it up in your medical dictionary. It's when you are under so much strain and pressure and anguish, you don't know what to do, you don't know where to turn, that the capillaries in the ends of your arms and fingers and that burst and blood oozes out of your pores. Hematohidrosis. And Jesus was in anguish. For the joy of the cross, my mind doesn't get there. I might not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but I just can't wrap my head around that one. But he did it for us, for you and for me, that we don't have to have that kind of anguish and that kind of fear and that kind of pressure. Because we have been given what? A sound mind. Health, not one of fear. So So number one, because Christ has been raised from the dead, we have this joy, this resurrection, this living hope, because our sins are forgiven. Done deal. As we would say in South Africa, finish and klaar means done and dusted. Well, do you think maybe, what a possible, what about the sin I'm going to commit tomorrow? Well, is that counted into? Yeah. We have full forgiveness. Acts 2:38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I was reading that again, and I think, man, this is a God who just keeps giving. Free salvation, free eternity, free Holy Spirit. Just give, give, give. Ephesians raises up post-ascension, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Give. Overabundant, overmuchly. Our God just gives and gives and gives. And you know what? Just like Adam and Eve, when we mess up, oh, now he's going to withdraw his hand from us. No, he's our Father. Remember we spoke about covenants? He has given a covenant, diatheke, a greater to the lesser. When the lesser messes up, the greater will not, because he has promised. He has given an oath by his own name. And when we mess up, we go, uh-oh, I'm done. And God's just going, that's okay, bud. Come on. Stand up. It's not how many times we fall down. It's how many times we get up that's important. Living in His glory realm. Where am I? 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Wow. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our sins. I mentioned this on Friday. Hebrews 8:12. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. God has a forgettery. I messed up yesterday. Am I forgiven? Yes, I'm forgiven. Here's the new day. Oh Lord, that thing I did yesterday, what thing? So give me some poetic lies. But we have to learn to understand what the Scripture is telling us. Because otherwise He's counting our sins against us. And He's not. Sure, that makes me free, eh? Because I can do some stupid stuff. Yeah. Let's get all hierarchical now, and I'm the pastor. Stupid. Okay. Our sins are forgiven. Number two, our faith is well grounded. We have our foundation. As we read last week, or the week before, or whenever we did, and Jesus is the cornerstone of that faith. And we are the building blocks that are being interlocked. That's at our peace, when we spoke on being bridges of peace. And we are being interlocked into Him, grafted together by the Holy Spirit, held in this building that is being formed together. He sent His Son, not only to die for us, but to be resurrected, that we could believe and have trust in Him. He is trustworthy. His word never fails. Our word fails. We mess up. We don't get it right all the time. But Jesus is constant. He lives for us on every front. He proves Himself on every front. The resurrection is our anchor in the storm of life. When things are all around us and going, you know, we have to remind ourselves and remember, God called us to this. God said, this is what Mark and Bridget, you're going to do. This is where you're at. And that, because of that, He is our anchor. Because in my insecurities and my frailties and my fear of man, I can freak out big time. I can run around my basement and I can perform. But then I go to the rock. And I throw my anchor into the sea of Jesus. And I remember the resurrection, that He is alive, that His word is true, and that He has called us. And you need to have that for yourselves. The resurrection of Jesus Christ stands against anything else. There are no other empty tombs. Anyone who's ever tried, there was a book, some of you might have read it years back, it was called Who Moved My Cheese, or Who Moved the Cheese. It was a book on leadership, it's a really good little book like that to read. Then another guy came along and got clever, and he thought, I'm going to prove that Jesus never rose from the dead. And he wrote the book called Who Moved the Stone. And by the time he got to the end of it, he proved that Jesus was alive. And he got saved. Never try and take on, I'm going to prove this. Eh? He is the only proof that we need. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. And this is the part we need to get. I no longer live. It's not about me and how I feel and what I want to do. But Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Gave. Come on now, when we give something away, don't we often think, I wonder what they're going to give me back? I wonder what they're going to do for me? And when they treat us badly, do you know how much I've given to that person? Do you know how much I've prayed for that person? We got to get where Jesus was and where the Father is. And the Holy Spirit says, give, 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 give. And they don't ask for anything back. They don't ask to claim for anything back. I think that is amazing in today's society. The apostles' preaching is true. Let me finish. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. It's a promise from God. I can't find Jesus. Maybe you're not seeking with all your heart. Maybe it's on a someday. John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except by me. There are many ways to Jesus. Do you know that? That sounds like blasphemy, Mark. Now just think about it. There are many ways to Jesus. Many roads that lead to Jesus. Only one road leads to God the Father. Because I didn't come to Jesus the same way Ken did. I didn't come to Jesus the same way Bridget did. I didn't come to Jesus any other way except by the Spirit to draw me and my life and what I did and all that kind of stuff. But there is only one way to the Father. And you know, we need to understand that it's all about the Father. Well, how so, Mark? Well, go and read John chapter 17. Now I am glorified that I may glorify my Father who is in heaven. That's all Jesus was all about. Wanting to glorify the Father. It was totally off the topic. Those who have fallen asleep are alive. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. In raising Christ from the dead, God the Father gave us joy in the resurrection. Joy in the resurrection is forgiveness and glorification that Jesus gave to the all-sufficient giver, which is Himself. Joy in the resurrection, Jesus, a friend to count on, and Jesus who is utterly reliable. Joy in the resurrection to guide us into an unchanging truth that will glorify the Father through Jesus. Absolute foundation for truth and righteousness. And so people want to teach you today philosophies and there are no absolute truths. No, there are. Just believe me. Joy in the resurrection for a life that is not pitiable but enviable. Joy in the revelation of an everlasting joy. A joy that is eternal because of today in history. Because Jesus rose from the dead. The tomb is not empty, not filled up. It is empty. The stone has been rolled away. People met him on the road. People went there and saw the tomb is empty. Where have you taken him? And Jesus appeared to people, and we know the rest of the story. I want to encourage you today, live in the joy of the resurrection. I was listening to a YouTube thing this morning. You know, this play that they did here, I've watched that about 7 times a day at home so that I can steel myself for the play, so I don't get up here and blub like a baby. But it gets me every time. And there's a wonderful song that they sing, He's Alive. He's alive, He's alive. Heaven's gates have been opened. He's alive. We just have the musos up here, and let's just go out with a resounding crash of joy and excitement this morning.